It is incredibly late at night. The house is, finally quiet.
Yeah, for once.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you are sitting at the kitchen table with the glow of the laptop lighting up the room. And you have multiple tabs open.
Oh, we know those tabs well.
Right. You have one tab open for nursing homes, just scanning through the reviews. You have another tab open for those expensive in-home care agencies. You might even have like a third tab open for some vague program your cousin randomly mentioned at a family gathering.
Right, just searching for anything at this point.
Exactly. You are completely exhausted, and you still have not found the thing you actually need to keep your family afloat. So, well, welcome to this deep dive. We are your editors here at California Care Compass.
Yeah, and we spent a massive amount of our time analyzing the safety nets that are, supposed to catch families just like yours.
That is our entire mission today.
It is, because that intense level of exhaustion you are feeling right now, that is something we hear about every single day.
Absolutely every day.
Yeah. And we want to acknowledge the catalyst moments that brought you to this kitchen table search in the first place. I mean, maybe it all started a few weeks ago when your mother fell in the kitchen.
Oh, that is always a terrifying moment.
Right. And the hospital just discharged her with nothing but a walker and like a photocopied list of generic phone numbers.
Which is so
It
unhelpful.
really is. Or maybe the panic set in when your father got lost. A guy who used to drive himself everywhere with total confidence, and he gets lost coming back from the local grocery store.
Yeah, and you realize he had been driving around lost for hours.
Exactly. Or maybe you just had that terrible heavy appointment where the neurologist finally said the word dementia out loud.
Yeah, that is a heavy one.
Yeah.
You probably sat in the parking lot afterward, not even crying, just staring blankly at your steering wheel.
Just kind of in shock.
Right. And you were sitting there trying to figure out the impossible math of how you were going to keep working your job, keep parenting your own children, and somehow keep your parents safe during the day.
It feels impossible.
Wow.
It does. But your desperate need to balance all of this is completely valid. You are not failing. The system is just, well, it is incredibly fragmented and hard to navigate.
Yeah, that is the real issue.
So our mission in this deep dive is to unpack the source material for CBAS, the medical day program most families never hear about. We are going to introduce you to the exact program you need, but have probably never encountered.
It is deeply frustrating because almost nobody hears about this program until it is brought up by sheer luck.
Wow, really? Just luck.
Pretty much. I mean, a hospital social worker might mention it in passing right as you were walking out the door, or,
Right.
a friend whose mother went through this a couple of years ago might say the letters out loud.
And those letters are CBAS.
Right, CBAS.
Okay, so over the course of this deep dive, we are going to cover exactly what that is and how it functions. We will explore who it is meant for and, who actually pays the bill.
Which is a huge question for families.
Oh, absolutely. We will also talk about how you navigate the complex bureaucracy to secure a spot, and what a day inside a center actually looks and feels like.
Says you need to picture it.
Right. And finally, exactly what you should do this week to get the ball rolling.
It is a significant amount of ground to cover, but having this complete roadmap is what families need to avoid making rushed, irreversible decisions based on a pure lack of information.
Okay, let's unpack this because before we dive into the heavy bureaucracy of how to get a spot, you really need to understand what this program actually does on a daily basis.
Yeah, the day-to-day reality.
Exactly. You need to know if your specific loved one is the right fit for this environment. A lot of people hear the phrase day program and they immediately picture a standard senior center.
Which is a huge misconception.
Right. Comparing a CDA center to a standard senior center is, it is like comparing a hospital to a hotel.
Oh, I like that comparison.
Yeah. A senior center is like a hotel. You go there to socialize and enjoy the amenities when you are completely independent. A CBA center is like a hospital.
Or at least a highly clinical environment.
Right. It is carefully controlled, it is highly monitored, and it is explicitly designed to help fragile people thrive and, stay out of a nursing home.
That visual distinction is so important. CBAS actually stands for Community-Based Adult Services. It is a specialized medical benefit.
Oh, okay. So those under medical.
Yes. But you might also see it operating under its older name, which is Adult Day Healthcare.
Wait, they still use that older name.
Yeah, a lot of centers still have that older Adult Day Healthcare name printed right on the signs outside their
Oh,
buildings.
that could be confusing.
It is. But what makes it a hospital, in your analogy, is the heavy-hitting clinical support operating right there on site. These are not just community halls with card tables and a television playing in the corner.
Right, it is much more structured.
Exactly. They actually have registered nurses on-site monitoring health. They have physical therapists, occupational therapists, and speech therapists running targeted interventions.
Wow, that is a lot of clinical staff.
It really is. They also have clinical social workers, dedicated program directors, and highly trained personal care aides. And those aides assist with everything from feeding to using the restroom.
So they are providing serious, measurable daily interventions. I know
Absolutely.
they serve hot, dietarily appropriate meals too, usually two a day. They handle complex medication management, which, I mean, we know is a massive daily stressor for adult children.
Oh, handing off the medication stress is huge.
Right. And they provide door-to-door transportation. But the state has strict rules for who actually gets to walk through those doors, right?
Yes, the state does have strict eligibility rules, but they actually make a lot of logical sense when you break them down.
Okay, what are the basics?
First, your parent must be at least 18 years old.
Okay, simple enough.
They must be enrolled in Medi-Cal, and they must meet what the state officially calls the nursing facility level of care criteria.
Which sounds very intense, nursing facility level of care.
I know. Do not let that phrase intimidate you, though. It essentially just means the person has medical, cognitive, or functional needs that are significant enough that they would be at very real risk of injury or decline if left home alone without support.
Okay, that makes sense. Let us bring those clinical terms to life and look at the people who actually use this program. Because it is not just one demographic.
No, it is a really wide range of people.
Right. So picture a mother with moderate Alzheimer's. She can still walk perfectly fine, and she still recognizes her daughter. But she cannot be left alone during the day because she will wander out the front door looking for a house she lived in 30 years ago. Or she will forget that she put a pan on the hot stove.
Or she might even let a complete stranger into the living room.
Exactly. Without constant daily supervision, she is in immediate danger.
Yeah, that is a classic profile for CBAS. Then imagine a father recovering from a severe stroke.
Okay, a physical recovery situation?
Right. He is getting outpatient rehab maybe three times a week, but he really needs far more daily therapy than that to regain his mobility. Plus, he's becoming deeply depressed and isolated, just sitting at home in a recliner alone all day while his wife is at work.
Oh, the isolation is such a huge factor. And you also have younger participants, right?
Yes,
Think
absolutely.
about an adult son with developmental disabilities and uncontrolled diabetes. His aging parents are reaching a physical point where they can simply no longer manage his complicated daily insulin schedule.
Or prepare his specific meals.
Right, and manage his transportation needs. And finally, consider a grandmother with congestive heart failure. She keeps bouncing back to the hospital emergency room every few weeks.
Because no one is home to watch her.
Exactly. No one is available during the day to closely monitor her leg swelling, her daily weight fluctuations, and her strict medication compliance.
And in every single one of those unique cases, a CBAA center is doing something a traditional senior center simply cannot legally or practically do.
Because of the clinical staff.
Right. There are highly trained clinical eyes on the participant every single day. The registered nurse is checking their vitals and catching that weight gain before it becomes a hospital visit.
That is incredible preventative care.
It is. The physical therapist is working with them on safe transfers. The social worker is watching for subtle, dangerous changes in their mood or cognition.
See, hearing about this intense level of care instantly triggers a panic response for
I
families.
can imagine why.
Because when you start listing off nurses, physical therapists, hot meals, and private vans, the immediate thought is that this must cost an absolute fortune.
Oh, right, the money.
Who is actually running this massive operation, and, how does a regular family afford it?
Well, what's fascinating here is the history of how this program survived and why it functions the way it does today.
Let us get into that.
This program exists in its current form because of a massive realization of consumer power. Back during the 2011 budget crisis, the state was actually preparing to completely eliminate adult day health care as a medical benefit, just to save money.
Wait, they were going to just cut it completely?
Yes, but disability rights advocates stepped in and sued the state. Now, we are simply reporting the history here, not taking any political sides. But it is crucial to know that the resulting 2012 settlement literally saved the program.
Wow.
It redefined this level of care not as an optional perk, but as a legally protected right. It created the modern CBAS program with incredibly strong eligibility protections, just to ensure families could not be arbitrarily cut off from care.
And because it is a protected medical benefit, that brings us to the financial reality.
The best part.
Yeah. For a medical eligible participant, the cost to the family is absolutely nothing.
And nothing at all.
Right. We are not going to quote any specific dollar amounts or hourly rates here today. But the core functional fact you need to understand is that the family does not get a bill for this care.
The state pays the center directly.
Exactly. The financial relief of that is staggering for a family that is already stretched to the breaking point.
It is completely life-changing, but because the state is paying for all of this clinical intervention, it also means you have to navigate an alphabet soup of government agencies to get that funding approved.
Oh, the acronyms.
Yeah, let us break down why you actually need to know these acronyms and how they impact your parents' care.
Okay, who is first?
First, you have the California Department of Healthcare Services. We usually call them DHCS.
DHCS, got it.
Right. They are the state agency that runs Medi-Cal. They basically write the overarching rule book for the entire program.
So DHCS writes the state playbook. But how does the federal government fit into this?
Well, the federal partner is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS.
No. Okay.
Yeah. They have to approve the program structure at the federal level.
Right.
And they provide a massive chunk of the necessary funding that flows down to the state.
Makes sense. And who actually approves the days the parent can go?
That is the Medical Managed Care Plan.
Right.
This is the specific health insurance company your parent is enrolled in through Medi-Cal. They are the ones who hold the purse strings.
Oh, okay.
They actually review the medical records and authorize the specific number of days your parent can attend the center.
Got it.
And finally, you have the licensed CBAS center itself, which is the physical building with the nurses and therapist that actually delivers the care.
So what does this all mean? I mean, understanding the bureaucracy and the funding is a huge intellectual relief. But let us be completely honest here.
Always.
A family is only going to say yes to putting their vulnerable parent in a van if they can actually visualize them having a safe, dignified, and engaging day.
That is the human element.
Right. We need to translate that highly regulated clinical environment into a warm daily routine. So picture the center's van pulling up in front of your house in the morning.
Okay. I am picturing it. And that driver has likely done this exact route 100 times. They know your parent by name. They know exactly how to help them safely step up into the seat.
That is so comforting. It really is. Your parent rides with a few other regulars from your neighborhood. When they arrive at the center mid-morning, there is a warm, familiar greeting at the door.
Like walking into a community.
Exactly. A staff member takes their coat. There is hot coffee and a nutritious breakfast waiting. And almost immediately, the registered nurse does a brief, friendly check-in.
What do they check for right away?
Well, they check blood pressure or blood sugar, if that is part of the care plan. They ask how the participant slept, and they administer the morning medications. So you do not have to worry about missing a dose while you're rushing to work.
That alone is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah.
And the structured activities throughout the morning are so important to highlight, too.
Definitely. This is not adult daycare where people just sit around.
You know, this is not just parking people in front of daytime television. They have gentle chair exercises led by trained staff. And it is set to familiar music from the participants' youth that they actually recognize and enjoy.
Oh, the music therapy is wonderful.
It is. They have specialized memory care groups. And these groups are carefully calibrated to the participants' remaining abilities.
That is a key point.
It really is. Because they do not infantilize the participants, which is a huge, valid fear for adult children looking at day programs. They treat them like adults.
Yes, maintaining dignity is a priority.
Plus, they get targeted physical therapy in a quiet side room if their medical assessment calls for it.
We also have to talk about the cultural competence of these centers, which is truly remarkable across California.
Oh, yes, I love this part.
The hot lunches are a perfect example of this. These centers actively reflect the specific communities they serve. Yes, the kitchens strictly accommodate diabetic diets and pureed diets for swallowing issues. But they also accommodate cultural palates.
Which is huge for someone with dementia.
Exactly. A familiar meal is a massive comfort for someone with dementia. In Los Angeles County, you will find entire centers with heavy Korean, Persian, Armenian, Vietnamese, Tagalog, and Spanish influences.
Wow, that is incredibly diverse.
It is. The staff speak the language natively. The music is culturally relevant. and the food feels exactly like home.
And when you look at the Central Valley, you find centers beautifully built around the Punjabi, Vosges, and Mexican-American communities.
That is amazing.
It really is. CBAS only works if participants genuinely feel at ease. Then, moving into the afternoon, the pace kind of slows down.
People need a break.
Right. There's a quiet rest time in comfortable recliners for those who need to sleep. There are afternoon activities like adapted crafts, or maybe a visiting chaplain leads a discussion.
Nice.
And the clinical social worker is always moving through the room, keeping a trained eye out for anyone who seems suddenly withdrawn or agitated.
Always observing.
Right. Then the nurse handles the afternoon medications, and then the van pulls back up to safely take everyone home.
I mean, think about the ultimate ripple effect this has on your family. You, sitting at the kitchen table right now, get to have a normal, uninterrupted work day.
Just a normal day.
Yes. There are no terrifying emergency phone calls from a neighbor saying your mother is wandering down the middle of the street. You have not had to suddenly leave a crucial presentation to drive across town because your father fell.
The peace of mind is immeasurable.
Your parent comes home having been fed, exercised, properly medicated, and truly seen by medical professionals.
But we should address the secret fears a lot of listeners might be harboring right now.
Good idea. Let us get into the caveats.
What if your parent does not speak a word of English? What if they have advanced dementia and are a major flight risk? Or what if they have unpredictable behavioral issues?
All very common concerns.
Centers are built for exactly these complex situations. They're licensed in communities where the language of the neighborhood is the language spoken by the nurses.
That solves the language barrier.
Right. And they use secure alarmed perimeters for participants with dementia. So they absolutely cannot wander out into traffic.
Which is a lifesaver.
It is. They are also highly trained to handle mild behavioral issues like anxiety, depression, or the vocal agitation that often accompanies dementia. The only real caveat is that actively, physically aggressive participants cannot be accommodated.
Simply because the center cannot put other vulnerable, frail participants at risk of being hurt.
Exactly.
And a high-quality center will be completely straightforward with you about that limitation during the initial assessment.
So honesty is the best policy.
Yes. If your parent has a history of physical behavioral incidents, you need to tell the center up front. Hiding it does not help anyone, and it just sets the participant up for a stressful failure.
Okay, so CBAS handles the daytime beautifully.
Mm.
But families do not just live in the daytime. They live in a 24/7 reality.
They do indeed.
How does this daytime solution actually integrate with the rest of the care a family might be juggling? I like to think of it like building a retaining wall in your backyard.
Oh, I like a good analogy.
One program is the steel rebar. Another program is the poured concrete. Neither one works perfectly on its own. But they have to work together to hold back the weight of the hill.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we are talking about the critical concept of the care stack.
A care stack, I like that term.
Families successfully keeping a loved one at home rarely rely on just one single program. They build a stack of complementary supports. CBAS works absolutely perfectly alongside in-home supportive services.
Ah, IHSS. I know for a fact a lot of families have a browser tab open researching that right now.
Yes. IHSS is a massive program run by the California Department of Social Services, or CDSS. It actually pays a caregiver, which can often be a family member, to provide personal care in the home.
Oh, that is a huge help. So you can use both.
Yes. A participant can absolutely have both programs at the same time. CBAS covers the heavy medical needs during the daytime hours while the parent is at the center. The county social worker will then adjust the approved IHSS hours to cover the gaps. They cover the evenings, the early mornings before the van arrives, and the weekends. They fit together seamlessly like puzzle pieces.
That structural integration makes perfect sense. But I have to raise a point of confusion I hear constantly from families.
Let us hear it.
Why doesn't Medicare pay for this day center? People pay into the Medicare system their entire working lives thinking it covers everything when they get older.
Mm-hmm.
Why is CBAS strictly a medicable benefit?
It is arguably the most common point of confusion in elder care. You have to look at the fundamental design of the programs.
Okay, break it down.
Medicare is explicitly designed for short-term, acute medical care, and hospital care. It covers your primary doctor visits, your surgeries, and short-term physical rehab immediately after a hospital stay.
Okay, so short-term fixes.
Right. Medi-Cal, on the other hand, is the safety net that handles long-term, ongoing custodial care. That long-term daily maintenance is exactly the lane CBAS operates in.
Oh, I see the difference now.
Now, many older participants are what the system calls dual eligible, meaning they actually have both insurances.
That is pretty common, right?
Very common. In those specific cases, Medi-Cal pays the full cost for the day center, while Medicare continues to operate in the background, covering their primary doctor visits and any hospitalizations.
Got it. It is entirely about knowing which bucket of funding is legally responsible for which type of care.
Exactly.
And for families looking for other resources to add to their care stack, the Area Agency on Aging Network is a fantastic starting point.
Oh, they are a great resource.
Yeah. That statewide network is run by the California Department of Aging, or CDA. They do not run the CBS centers, but they know the local landscape inside and out.
They are the local experts.
Right. They can point you toward crucial gap fillers like Meals on Wheels or local caregiver support groups. And just to tease our future deep dives, we will be looking at PACE, which is a program of all-inclusive care for the elderly, as well as the assisted living waiver very soon.
Those are completely different models. PACE-E is a fully integrated program that actually brings a day center, primary medical care, and home support all under one single organizational roof.
Wow, an all-in-one solution.
Yeah, but we will save the deep dive on that massive topic for another day.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Now that you are fully sold on the immense value of a CBA center and how it neatly fits into your life,
yeah,
you need a concrete playbook.
You need to know what to do next.
Right. You need a step-by-step guide to actually securing a spot without getting lost in the bureaucracy. But I have to push back a little on the logistics here.
Okay, fair enough.
The reality is that this process takes anywhere from a couple of weeks to a couple of months. When you are drowning and your parent is unsafe today, a couple of months feels like an absolute lifetime.
It really does.
Why does it take so long? And furthermore, why is the transportation radius around the center such a hard, non-negotiable limit?
I completely validate that frustration. When you need help, you feel like you need it yesterday. The timeline takes that long because of a complex negotiation happening behind the scenes.
Ah, the red tape.
Right. The center's registered nurse has to do a thorough clinical assessment, build a massive file proving medical necessity, and then submit that to the managed care plan.
Okay, that sounds like a lot of paperwork.
It is. The managed care plan's accountants and medical directors then have to review it and authorize the spending. Those medical gears turn slowly.
And what about the vans?
As for the transportation radius, it is a hard limit simply because the vans can only drive so far before a multi-hour commute becomes physically exhausting and dangerous for fragile participants.
That makes perfect sense. No one wants their fragile parent in a van for 2 hours.
Exactly. But let us walk through the exact steps you need to take to get this process moving as fast as humanly possible.
Let us break down the mechanism of getting in. Where does a family actually start?
You start by searching the California Department of Healthcare Services list of licensed centers. You search by your specific zip code to ensure your parent actually falls within a center's transportation radius.
Step one, check the zip code. Got it.
Once you find a center nearby, you call them. You are not committing to anything on this call. You really just need to ask the intake coordinator three quick things.
Okay, what are the three questions?
Do you take my mother's specific medical managed care plan? Do you currently have an open bed, or is there a wait list? And when can my family come in to take a tour? They answer these questions all day long.
The next phase is taking that tour.
Yeah.
And bring your parent with you, if you possibly can, to see how they react to this space.
Yes, that is crucial.
You are looking for warmth and clinical competence. Does the place smell clean? A clean smell means they have enough staff to handle incontinence issues promptly and with dignity.
A very good indicator.
Are the staff making direct eye contact with participants and calling them by their first names? Are the people there actually engaged in an activity, or are they just parked along the wall staring into space?
You can tell a lot just by watching for 10 minutes.
Trust your gut here. You are looking for the exact same markers of quality you would look for in a good preschool or a good hospital.
Exactly right. If you like the facility, the next phase is the assessment. A registered nurse from the center will evaluate your parent face to face.
They come to the house or you go there?
Usually at the center. They are not just chatting. They are digging into medical history, fall risks, and functional ability to write up a highly detailed, individualized plan of care.
Okay, so that is step four, the assessment.
Right. That care plan then triggers the authorization phase. The center sends that documentation to the medical managed care plan. The plan reviews the evidence and decides how many days per week are officially approved.
And it is crucial to remember that this decision is based strictly on documented medical need, right? Not just what is convenient for your family's work schedule.
Sadly, yes. It is strictly based on medical need.
And finally, you get to the start date. This usually features a gradual onboarding process. They might start your parent with shorter half days for the first week.
Which is so much better for them.
It is incredibly important for participants with dementia, so they do not get entirely overwhelmed and triggered by the new environment and the new faces.
Absolutely.
But throughout this entire multi-week process, you have to be a relentless advocate. Push gently. Ask the center for updates on the paperwork.
Be the squeaky wheel.
Exactly. If the managed care plan drags its feet on the authorization, document your phone calls. Write down the names of the representatives you spoke to and keep politely following up.
Do not just wait passively for the mail to arrive. You have to actively manage the authorization process from your end.
We are transitioning now into our editorial What to Do This Week section. Before we give you the checklist, I want to remind you that the sheer failure to market this open secret of a program is the healthcare system's fault.
It is definitely a systemic failure.
It is not your fault that you are just finding out about this tonight after months of struggling. We also have to acknowledge the real systemic caveats out there.
Right. It is not perfect everywhere.
There is severe rural scarcity. If you live outside a major metropolitan area, finding a center within driving distance is much harder. The strict transportation radiuses are incredibly tough if you live just one zip code over.
So frustrating.
And you might very well have to file an appeal if you get a denial from the managed care plan on your first try. But please do not let any of those potential hurdles stop you from making the very first call.
The centers want your business, and they will often help you fight the managed care plan for that authorization. Here is your specific checklist for the next 7 days.
Just 7 days. Break it down.
This week, your only job is to get your bearings and start the inquiry. First, confirm your parents' medical status and write down the exact name of their managed care plan.
Okay, step one is done.
Second, locate the centers near you by searching the California Department of Healthcare Services or the California Department of Aging websites. Third, make a couple of low-pressure phone calls to the two or three centers on your short list.
Just ask those three questions.
Exactly. Fourth, schedule and attend a tour for at least one of them. Fifth, if you like it, ask them to formally begin the RN assessment.
Right.
Sixth, keep all your existing supports, like your IHSS caregiver hours, completely active during the wait. Do not cancel anything until the CBAS van actually shows up on day one.
Very smart advice.
And finally, visit californiacarecompass.com/learn/CBUS-California for all the detailed checklists and contact lists you need to make this happen.
Excellent.
You know, this raises an important question. If a program like CBAS is so demonstrably successful at keeping fragile families together, saving family jobs, and preventing costly premature nursing home admissions, why does our massive healthcare system treat it as an afterthought?
It makes no sense.
Why does it require sheer luck or a desperate late-night internet search to discover it, rather than being a frontline prescription offered to every single aging family the exact moment they need it?
That is the complex, frustrating thought we want to leave you with to mull over. Next time on The Deep Dive, we will be covering the assisted living waiver and explaining how Medi-Cal can actually step in to help pay for assisted living facilities in California.
Another game changer.
For sure. But for tonight, sitting there at your kitchen table with all those browser tabs open and the absolute weight of the world on your shoulders, just take a deep breath.
You got this.
By simply finding this information and understanding what a CBA center is, you have already done the hardest part of the research. You are no longer operating in the dark.
No more guessing.
So close the other tabs, go to sleep, and make that one phone call tomorrow morning. Good night, and we will talk to you next time.